The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Does God heal today? Do you realize that divine healing was a vital part of both Jesus and the apostles' ministry? Do you know, my friends, that healing was part of the Great Commission Jesus gave His ministers? Did you know that many people are being healed today of all kinds of diseases, all kinds of ailments? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, does God heal today? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
What if Jesus were to appear again in the human flesh and minister in the human flesh? What would His ministry be like? Do you realize, my friends, that it would involve healing? It would involve healing people's diseases and sicknesses. Notice the very beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry. Turn with me in your Bible and let's check up and see what the ministry of Christ and the apostles and the early New Testament church for decades was like. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. Get a Bible, check up on me, you'll learn a lot. You're probably not familiar with this topic, so follow me in your Bible if you want to, and if you have a Bible handy. Matthew 4 and verse 23. Now Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the coming kingdom of God, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. All kinds. Back in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, God tells us here, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ does not change. And if He's living His life in you, and if He's living His life in His true ministers, they will follow the same basic laws, the same practices, the same way of life that He taught. And all of you students of the Bible out there, you know that Peter, Paul, and the other apostles healed sickness and disease as part of their ministry. The book of Acts is full of these inspired examples. You know that. But was divine healing just for Jesus and the 12 apostles alone? Some people have thought that. They thought, well, that was just for the original apostles. That was just for the time of Christ. No, it wasn't. Notice something here, though, that's very important, and many people skip over this, and they frankly don't realize it. Let's turn here, if you would, to Luke, the 10th chapter, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. Here were 35 teams of young men, 70 others, in addition to the 12 apostles, at a time the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Christ had not yet been crucified and ascended to heaven. He had not yet sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost after His death. So these men were unconverted. The Spirit was with them, as it was with the apostles, but not yet in them. 70 unconverted young men beside the 12, 70 others, and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place where He Himself was about to go. And of course they went out, whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, Jesus told them in verse 8. Verse 9, heal the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So every place we read a full description of what Jesus told His apostles or these men, He told them to go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out demons. And you find that these young men did that too, because in verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in Your name. So these are the things Jesus told them to do as part of the Great Commission, not just the 12 apostles, but all the men He sent out, and it was a way of life, whether we fully understand that or not. Let's turn back to Matthew 9, Matthew chapter 9, and notice here in verse 11. And so the Pharisees saw it in verse 11, and they said, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So Jesus didn't condemn the physicians. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So there are many things doctors can do and should do. We know that. We can't set our own bones, and doctors have to sometimes deliver babies and do repair-type surgery and all kinds of things as an absolute necessity. Then there are other things they do that we may need them to do or want them to do, and each one has to decide. But only God can totally remove sickness and disease without any side effects. And all doctors, and I've talked to quite a number of top specialists, they all acknowledge that every drug has side effects. Every major operation has side effects. And so now, as in Jesus' day, we also need to think there are many other ailments and diseases which only God can heal. Think about the growth of AIDS all over the world. The Ebola virus, which a recent issue of Newsweek magazine commented was spreading and could come over here very easily, and other diseases, absolute plagues that are going to begin to strike our civilization. Supernatural healing from God is going to be an increasing necessity, my friends, an increasing necessity in the future. And God's Word tells us that disease epidemics are definitely coming. Turn to Matthew chapter 24 now at this point. Matthew 24, verse 7. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be, the Son of God said, famines, pestilences. Pestilences means disease epidemics, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus told us that. Many other prophecies show us that disease epidemics are going to be rife all over the world to humble people and shake them at the time of the end, and to make men more willing to listen to the truth, no doubt. All of us need to get to know God as our healer. We really do. We need to know that part of God and His Word and His plan. We really, really do. God is a real being, a personality, not just a blind force. You need to get to know God as your Father, as your healer, your deliverer. You need to get to know God. At this point, I invite you to write or to call for a free audio tape of this message. Then you can review this vital information at your own convenience. You may wish to share this tape with family or friends. This healing message will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. So call now and ask for your free audio tape of this powerful message, Does God Heal Today?
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic on healing. We were in Matthew chapter 24, and you remember Jesus' Olivet prophecy where he warns about future false prophets, wars, and then he comes in chapter 24 and verse 7. He says, there will be famines, pestilences, he said, and earthquakes in various places. In the future, we'll all need God's intervention. We really will. I grew up in a mainstream Protestant church back in Missouri. I didn't know anything about healing. I just heard about the little Lord Jesus, memorized the Lord's Prayer and Matthew 25, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I learned about some of those things, but I didn't really understand the truth at all. I was never taught the gospel of the kingdom of God. I was never taught about Christ coming. I was never taught about God being a real God in that sense. And so I came out to a wonderful college where I was taught the truth. And my first experience with healing personally was that I had had for years warts. I had warts all over the back of both hands, and they just kept right on growing. I had the healthiest warts west of the Mississippi. I really did. And as a boy, back when I was in junior high and high school, I tried to work with those warts in my own way. It scared my mother to death. She thought I was going to kill myself or cause cancer to come or something. I would take a razor blade, and I would sterilize it at least with a match, and then I would cut the warts right out till they bleed and put iodine in there. I thought, that'll kill those warts, and that didn't do it. I tried lemon juice. Some people said, put lemon juice. That didn't do it. And, of course, then I would take a match and blow it out, and real quick, while it was hot, jam it right on the warts. I thought I was a tough guy, and I could take the pain and jam it down there and try to kill the warts. That didn't do it either. Finally, my parents were afraid, and they took me to a doctor, and he used the electric needle on it. They probably have better methods now, but they had an old electric needle, and they put it right down and try to kill the wart right down in the core, and the wart would grow right back. I had really powerful warts. I did. And I finally went to this man of God who believed in healing and asked for prayer, because he had talked about this very topic that I'm discussing with you. And he took me aside into a private room, and we kneeled down, and he prayed to God to keep the promises that he'd made in his word, which I'm going to begin to read to you. He talked about these promises, just like he'd say, Father, you promised this and you promised that. And as he got up from the prayer, as we both arose, he knelt down and he put his hands on me. He anointed me with a little olive oil. And all the ministers in this work of God do carry a little olive oil with them. As a matter of fact, I always do a little bottle of olive oil. And the olive oil just symbolizes God's Holy Spirit. The oil does not heal anything. We know that. But the oil symbolizes God's Spirit. So he put this oil on my head, and he put his hands on my head, because God worked through the mind and so on, and asked God to heal me. Well, I felt really good. I thought, no doubt God will heal me, because this man really seemed to exude faith. Weeks went by, and I was in the college dorm, and I wasn't healed. I noticed the warts every morning as I got up. I would look for the warts to be gone. They were still there. They just kept right on, and I kept looking for them. Finally, one morning, 6 or 12 weeks later, it was a number of weeks later, I got out of bed, and I looked at the warts and from my little student's bed, and they were sitting on the bed, and they were gone. They didn't suddenly, slowly go. They just suddenly disappeared. And so I reached down and got my glasses. I thought, well, I really see it. No, they were gone. Then I reached under the bed to try to find the warts, and I couldn't find them. I pulled the sheets back. I thought, where did they go? You know, where did they go? But they were gone. God simply took them away supernaturally and overnight, and he has the power to do that. Again, my friends, you have to come to know that there is a real God, a spirit personality who has made us in his image and has the power to heal, as he tells us over and over in this word. So let's understand that. You've got to come to know that real God, and I hope that you will. Notice what God tells us in his inspired word about this matter. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 5, and beginning in verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? James asks. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, that's God's instruction in his inspired word, what we should do if we're Christians. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, as this man did with me. He anointed me with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith. You've got to believe in God. You've got to know that God is there, and then you've got to believe God, to believe what God said. And very few people do that today. They don't even understand. They haven't been taught. But that's part of faith. Believing that God is there, that he has the power to do what he has said that he will do, and that he does do what he has said that he will do. And so he said the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Healing and the forgiveness of sins go hand in hand, as I will explain to you. Confess your trespasses to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Back in Luke 18, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Implying there wouldn't be very much faith, and certainly there isn't. But you and I can get back to the faith once delivered if we want to. Does your minister or elder really practice this? Does he believe and practice this important instruction in God's Word of looking to God for healing? Does he anoint with oil in the name of Jesus Christ and have faith that God will heal? If not, why not? But please note, my friends, that in all the Bible examples of healing, not one mention is ever given of whooping and hollering and having great tent meetings and healing campaigns with lots of yelling and screaming and showing off. Nothing like that is mentioned, not one single time. This man took me aside privately. We knelt down and in faith asked the God of heaven for healing. And then in my ministry over the last 48 years, many, many people have been healed supernaturally. I could tell you story after story, but we have to understand that. You have to prove it. I know many of you don't believe that. You've not seen it. You may have seen hoop and holler things that didn't work out or whatever, but you have to look to what God says and believe what God says. Notice back in Matthew 9 again, and when Jesus departed in verse 27, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, "Son of David, have mercy on us." These blind men wanted God to heal them. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. You see, it was in a private place, not in some great big tent meeting. They came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you have faith?" In other words, they said, "Yes, Lord." And he undoubtedly sensed they did have real faith. Then he touched their eyes. He laid his hands upon them, saying, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." That is a basic condition of healing. You've got to have faith, absolute faith in God, and faith that God will do what he has promised to do. Notice in chapter 10, Matthew 10 now, verse 1, when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. It doesn't make any difference. You may have a horrible cancer that the doctors are not able to heal. You may have later Ebola or some horrible thing and the plagues that are going to come, frankly. What do you do? You're going to have to learn that there is a real God and be willing to turn to that God and put your faith and trust in God. And then you read down here in verse 6, he said, "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of God, we normally call it, not the kingdom in heaven, but the kingdom of heaven. "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead." I consider all that healing. In other words, even the dead are raised back to temporary life in this world. "Cast out demons." First, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons. These are the three things Jesus told them over and over again. They were part of the Great Commission. And I could read many other, of course, statements about that. But I want you to realize that's what he reiterated again and again. So that's an important thing to consider. Now let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 6. And it says here in verse 5, "Now he could do no mighty work there," in that area where he grew up among family and friends. Think about that. Here was God in the flesh. Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands, like a local elder, on a few sick people and healed them. That's the power he had. And certainly an elder can lay his hands and anoint with oil and people will be healed if they have faith. But Jesus normally said, just be healed and they would rise up. But the atmosphere of doubt was so much, they said, well, Jesus, who's he? He grew up here. We can't trust in him. And so he could there do no mighty work, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people, a few, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Not his unbelief, but their unbelief. So that's important. Even Jesus' healing required faith. You must put your faith and trust in God. And that's so important. Notice now, as you go on, in verse 7, he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And you'll find down here a little bit later in verse 12, "So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons." So they were healing the sick, and they were casting out these demons or unclean spirits. And notice, and anointed with oil, they took the little oil that I showed you that I carry, and all faithful ministers of God should have oil. They anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. That's what these young men did. They went all over, anointing with oil and healing the sick. So again, that's what Jesus and his apostles did over and over. Notice Psalms 103. Let's turn back to your Old Testament briefly to the 103rd Psalm. Here's King David writing a beautiful psalm, a very important message here from this man after God's own heart. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Yes, we know that. He forgives our sins. Who heals all your diseases. Oh, we hadn't thought about that. Healing and the forgiveness of sins go hand in hand. They both come from God. So we want to understand that, and I think all of us will understand that more as time goes on. Notice back in Mark, the second chapter now. Mark chapter 2, if you would turn back there again to the New Testament. Mark chapter 2, and beginning here in verse 1. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no room, and he preached the word. Then they brought this paralytic man to him, carried by four men. And when they could not get him inside, they uncovered the roof. You remember the story. They had such faith in Christ's power, they just simply let this man down from ropes through the roof. And when Jesus saw their faith, verse 5, he said to the paralytic, "Sons, your sins are forgiven you." Now that's quite a statement. He's talking here about healing. They wanted the man to be healed, this paralytic. He says, "Your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts and saying, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Of course, Jesus was God in the human flesh. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'?" You see, they're both part of the same thing. You can be forgiven your spiritual sins by Jesus Christ shed blood. But God can also, through Christ's suffering and sacrifice, which he did, and that beating before he died, that scourging, have the physical mistakes removed that you have made or others have made if you get hit with a truck or whatever. And God removes that and heals you if you and the minister anointing you have real faith and trust in God. And you may have to keep on having faith. God didn't heal my warts immediately. It was 6 to 12 weeks later to have faith that God will do what he said he will do. So, but that you may know, Jesus said, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, go your way to your house." And immediately this paralytic man rose up, took his bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So they were astonished and very encouraged. But Jesus tied in healing with the forgiveness of sins. Let's notice back in Matthew now. Matthew chapter 8 this time, if you would. Matthew 8, verse 16. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. He healed everybody. And frankly, he healed some that may not have had perfect faith because he was God. God was showing where he was working through this man in a most unique way. He healed all who were sick that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And God quotes throughout the New Testament from the Old, showing us the Old Testament was inspired of God. He quotes Isaiah saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." That was one thing the Messiah was supposed to do. And that's from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. So you may want to turn and look that up. And now let's turn to 1 Peter 2 where that same thing is quoted. 1 Peter 2 here near the end of your New Testament. 1 Peter 2, 21. "For to this you were called," God tells us, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Christ set us an example who committed no sin. He obeyed God and God's laws. "Nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return." He didn't yell back at people. But when he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And of course, God defines righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172. All thy commandments are righteousness. That is God's way of life. We're to live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. But the beating Jesus took, that scourging, he suffered physically to pay the penalty of our physical mistakes. Our healing requires faith in Christ's sacrifice. You need to think of that. That requires faith in what Jesus did. If we're to get back to the faith once delivered, we must all learn to realize that God is our ultimate healer, my friends. If we're to restore apostolic Christianity, we must learn to trust in God to do as he did do in apostolic times. He's the same. He hasn't changed. These promises are forever. And a major theme of this work of God is to restore apostolic Christianity, to get back to the way of God, the laws of God, the ways of God, the promises of God, the real Christianity that Christ and the apostles observed. May God give you the faith to put your trust in him and in his inspired promises. Think about that. Again, be sure to call or write immediately for a free audio tape of this message. Then you can review this vital information at your own convenience. You may wish to share this tape with family or friends. So call or write today for this eye-opening audio tape, Does God Heal Today? This tape on healing will be sent absolutely free, my friends, upon your request. So call now. Just pick up the phone and call now and ask for your free audio tape of this powerful message, Does God Heal Today? Just ask for the tape on healing.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week to another powerful Tomorrow's World program. You will be taught and challenged by this exciting program on a topic seldom understood in our modern professing Christian world. And tune in every week as Richard Ames and I give you meaning behind today's news and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.